Time now for our regular motoring feature for a Saturday morning. Daily Maverick motoring journalist Melinda Ferguson with us until just before 9 o'clock to give us the lowdown on some of the latest new cars on the road and keep us up to date with the motor industry news. Good, there we go. This week, Melinda has been cruising in the new limited edition Ford EcoSport Black Edition. The subcompact crossover SUV has been given a number of updates, but are they enough to keep the hugely popular EcoSport in pole position as the best-selling compact crossover SUV in the country? Melinda, welcome to you. How are you?
Fabulous. Bright and bright as a button this morning.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Yeah,
good. Listen, the subcompact crossover SUV from Ford. You can't swing a dead cat in South Africa without hitting an EcoSport or an EcoSport, as I discovered it's pronounced this week. It's been a real winner, hasn't it, for Ford since it arrived here in 2013?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they're everywhere. I also call it an EcoSport. I think it's fine. Echo would have an H in it, wouldn't it?
You'd think
but
so.
Anyway, yeah. I think let's just go. I mean, I don't think Ford minds if we call it EcoSport or EcoSport. I'm always amazed at how many of these EcoSport subcompact SUVs are around. I, in fact, a little bit of personal information. I went to the Indian launch of the EcoSport when it first came to South Africa. So that was around 2013. Had the most fantastic time in Goa. Drove this. It was an absolute revolutionary car at that stage because it didn't have a competitor. Mm. I remember asking Ford, "So who are you competing against?" And they said, "Well, it's actually like an anomaly, and there isn't really a competitor in the segment." And now it is bursting.
Yeah, exactly. Give us a little bit more of a history then, because I Googled Ford EcoSport because I believe that the one that we see so commonly everywhere, was the birth of the EcoSport, but it wasn't, was it? This is the second generation. The one that we see all the time is the second generation, but they've been around before then, right?
They have been around, and you're very clever. It's good that you're such a Googler, a little Googler. It was, in fact, unveiled in 2003, so we only got it 10 years later. Mm. And it was kind of, at that stage, the RAV, which is a much bigger SUV kind of, you know, it's not as small as this one. That had really made a big impression and was selling a lot. Ford must have looked at Toyota and said, geez, we need something, you know, to compete with this incredible hunger that started building up during this time. So this RAV, this EcoSport, it caused a kind of revolution in the car industry. And in fact, and this is a bit of trivia, the EcoSport or the EcoSport was designed by Ford in the USA, but they've only been selling it in North America since 2018. Which is very strange.
Yeah, that is weird.
I think.
Yeah, I do too.
But I think it's because they want bigger cars there. You know, they're all about beefy, big SUVs, big pickup trucks. They probably looked at the EcoSport and they thought, oh no, that's far too small for Americans.
Yeah, size matters for the Americans. Listen, as you've just mentioned and as we've spoken about the other day, this is a really competitive class. Not so, as you said, like when it first came here in 2013. There wasn't anything like it. But now it's a really competitive class. So what else would we see coming up alongside it?
Well, there are about 10, and there are probably more, but there are 10 strong competitors in this class. And as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, Ford Echo.
Sorry, I've done a number on you now with this, haven't I?
Yeah, let's you just have. Call it.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
So the Ford EcoSport, it actually rules the roost, as you said. Mm. And I did a bit of Googling because I'm always interested in numbers as well. And last year, it was the one of the worst years, I think, in history, will probably be worst for every industry, or except for if you were making sanitizers and masks. and Woolworths, or one of those people, they probably, they did definitely do much better than the motoring industry. But Ford sold 7,255. VW T-Cross, which is its next competitor, 5,693.
Okay.
Then, interestingly enough, the Hyundai Venue, 4,482.
Another one that I see quite a few of, to be honest, Mel. I'm seeing a lot more of those.
That car is doing really well.
Yeah.
And then the Haval, the
H2.
Came in at 4,465, literally just behind the Venue.
That surprises me.
No, sorry, I'm just raving off numbers. Let's just have a reaction from you.
Sorry. It surprises me because that Hyundai H2, the Haval H2, again, can't swing a dead cat without it. That's become sort of the yummy mummy car in my area. I see a lot of them at my daughter's creche, the Haval H2. Yes, I'm seeing a lot of the Venues, but that Haval really seems to be all over the place. So that surprises me still. Anyway, ho-hum, the numbers are what they are.
Yeah, they're literally neck on neck. Kia Seltos was the next at number 5 with 3,164. I'm not going to give you the other numbers, but I'm just going to tell you there's a Mazda CX-3, a Hyundai Creta.
Tell me where the CX-3 is, because a friend of mine's just bought one of those, and I also seem to see a lot of those.
Beautiful car. CX-3 is at number 6. Hyundai Creta was number 7 last year. Haval H1. So there's the H1 and H2 was number 8. Then the beautiful and rather fabulous Renault Duster, which I think is one of the best off-road. Some people hate
Can't
it, but
it.
I've driven it, and it is damn good off-road, Sarah Jane.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we've got the Suzuki Jimny coming in at number 10. Jimny, great off-road. Not so great on road if you've got wind crossing the highway. That's all I'm going to say about the Jimny on a highway.
Okay, all right. Mm. That is a really interesting rundown for me, actually. Mm. And the H1 Haval, I test drove that once. I found it a bit small, but for me, if it doesn't come in an automatic, I've become very lazy, you see, and it doesn't come in an automatic, so I'm out. Anywho, back to the EcoSport Black. First of all, why is it called the EcoSport Black when it isn't? Because you drove a rather nice red one.
I did, and I was expecting a pitch black one. So when it arrived, I was like, why is it red? I was going off in my black EcoSport.
Exactly.
Then I realised, I also thought it would be black. I realised that it has black elements to it. So the black edition comes with black 16-inch alloys, black mirror caps on the sides, obviously, black grille, and that grille really does stand out, and black roof rails, and I think black skid inserts. Now, I must tell you, I don't really know what that is.
A skid insert?
I think those things at the back, but maybe those are skid flaps. Anyway, I'm starting to sound like an idiot. I'll have to Google it afterwards. I just didn't really know what skid inserts were.
That's all right. We'll let you off. Listen, you've given us that rundown of others in its class. The fact is that since it hit the South African market in 2013, the class, as we've seen from that rundown, has grown exponentially. The EcoSport is the top seller. But how does this limited edition now stand up then against competitors?
Well, it's quite difficult to see yet in terms of sales, since it's only been released. I was the first media person. I think there were two or three of us in South Africa, but we got to drive it first down in Cape Town, and I'm sure in Joburg as well. Look, I know that they probably are planning a brand new generation of EcoSports. They must be coming soon.
Yeah, I did wonder. It's been a while.
So I think that what manufacturers do often, and it's very clever, they kind of see their run kind of ending. And when, I mean, we might be talking about 1 or 2 years, and given COVID, who knows, it might be 5 years.
Yeah.
But there are clever ways to actually, you know, get more interest in an outgoing, and say thing like a Ford EcoSport. I think that it looks pretty cool. I did forget to tell you that there's also an outer spare wheel cover on the back, and I love that.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, the old RAV had it as well.
Yeah, I like
and
it.
That's, I've never really loved the new RAV. After they got rid of that, I thought, because it used to stand out so much. And I really think the EcoSport with that spare wheel cover looks really gorgeous.
Looks the biz.
Mm.
All right, target market. Well, last week, I can't even remember what the car was that we were doing. What was it? The Amarok. Wasn't it the Amarok last week?
Yeah, it was.
And
it
one of your colleagues, your motoring journalist colleagues, said, and I'm paraphrasing, it's the every car for every man. Like, this works for everybody. I'm sort of tempted to say that a little bit about the EcoSport, but maybe I shouldn't. What is the? Is there a specific target market? I'd imagine I'm in it.
You're definitely in
it.
You definitely are in it. And, you know, I see a lot of men driving EcoSports. Now, this segment is tricky because some people would maybe say, like, they're not tough enough for men if one wanted to be so gender-specific. But I see a lot of men driving EcoSports, and I do see families in EcoSports.
Endless families, yeah.
Endless families. So I think they've really been, and they're not number one for nothing.
No.
They've captured a kind of, girls can drive it, men can drive it. Men are not going to be embarrassed and say it's a hairdresser's car or whatever. It's got the tough enough look. It can do some off-roading. And then families can fit.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just one of those very clever products that kind of becomes a bit of an every man, every woman type of appeal.
So you've mentioned some of the upgrades to the exterior. Is there anything new going on underneath the bonnet?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing at all. Zero zilch.
No, it's not an engine. So what they did last year, they brought out a 1.5-litre Ambient, which I drove around Paternoster, but I wasn't reviewing those cars with you at the time, and it was an auto. So what they've done is they only have the black edition on the 1.5-litre Ambient.
Okay.
It's not available on the other models in the range. And so that, even though it's not an old engine, it was brought out last year. It's an interesting engine because I think people were looking for an auto, and they've managed to do that. A lot of people, as you and I know, we like driving auto cars as we get older. Yeah.
That is true. It is true. Listen, I have to ask, please, oh please, have they made the offensively small boot any bigger?
Do you know what's quite weird? I don't know if you've been through those other boots, but they claim that this boot, which is 330 litres, is one of the biggest in its class. And because there isn't a spare, some of them have spare wheels in, some of them don't have the I don't think they do. I mean, and now I'm starting to wonder if I'm correct. But with that spare wheel outside of the car, it has created more space. And I went off on a fabulous road trip and flattened my back seats into one huge compartment.
Okay.
And Sarah Jane McQuala King, I managed to fit a huge dog bed, a lot of suitcases and lots of stuff in there, and I kept wanting to take a picture saying, look what you can actually fit in this thing.
And you don't have to take all the seats down. See, this is the issue.
Yeah, but you don't have to put all of them down.
Okay. All right. I'm just thinking, you know, I've now got a new brain. I've now got this mum brain where I have to think, okay, so the kid's got to go in there, the car seat's got to go in there, the 850 bags and accoutrement that come with the child have to go in there, the dog, the this, is there room? And then can I go shopping? Can I go to Pick and Pay and get the week's shopping? And I test drove also when I was looking to upgrade when I was pregnant and needed a new car. I did test drive the EcoSport. Lovely drive, wasn't big enough for me.
Wasn't big enough for you. I think that possibly with the baby seat and everything, if you had a kid, that wasn't strapped to the ISOFIX, because they do have those.
Oh, do they? That's a good, thank you. That is important to know. Yeah, okay.
They do.
All right.
I sort of imagined that the darling baby would be lying on the floor, but that's not a very good idea.
It's not ideal for safety, no.
If
you just tuned in this morning, this is Car Talk. Well, this is Weekend Breakfast, but this particular segment is Car Talk with the Daily Maverick motoring journalist Melinda Ferguson, who this week is reviewing for us the all-new, nothing new under the boot, EcoSport, limited edition EcoSport Black. All right. What did you love? What did you not love? Where is there room for improvement?
So I thought there's very good safety on this car.
All right.
There are dual front airbags, there's side and curtain airbags, there's ABS, ESC, EBA. It's that, my favorite electronic stability control, which is my absolute best. It's got hill launch assist if you're needing to go and do a bit of off-roading. It's got rear parking sensors. It's got that lovely thing of home safe headlamps where you are able to put your car off and then your lights kind of go off after you've left the car,
I kind of like. No, it's useful. Yeah.
And so there's also keyless entry. I also liked it that it's not a major gas guzzler. It's not a, I think it's about just under 6.9. We got some really good stats as we drove off to Montague. So, and I also really like the way it looks. I think the way it looks with this black edition, the side, the decals as well. I forgot to tell you about that. The black grille, the roof rails. It looks pretty meaty.
Go on.
Yeah. Did you ask me what I didn't like?
Yeah, I did ask that.
Okay. So I hope Ford doesn't hate me for this. So I found it quite underpowered. Okay. And we were very full. So this is a 1.5-litre Ambient, 91 kilowatts, 151 newton meters, 6-speed auto that I was driving. Mm. To get going, it felt like it was a bit laggy.
Okay.
We did have a very full car. I sort of thought, damn, why don't they have the black edition on the 1-litre EcoBoost? Because it needed some kind of turbocharge in the engine for me to really love it. And that's what I wish they'd done, is to have made the EcoBoost, which is the most brilliant engine, the 1-litre, and I'll talk to you about pricing just now, and you'll see that it's not that much more expensive than the black edition.
Okay, all right. Let's talk about price then. This is the part of the show where I guess, hazard a guess at how much it is. I'm going to be honest and say I've got absolutely no idea how much an EcoSport is. None at all. So I am going to... 310,000 rand. I've got no idea.
Are you saying for the black edition or for the normal?
No, for the black. For the black edition. I've got no idea.
Okay. So for the black edition, which is the 1.5-litre Ambient, it's 336 rand.
All right.
336 rand. Jacob Zuma coming up.
Yeah.
336,900 rand.
Okay.
And if you didn't have the black edition, but you wanted the same 1.5-litre Ambient automatic, it would be 322,700, which makes it about 14,000 for all of this. Black edition stuff.
I just think you might as well go for it then. If it's for the sake of 14,000,
it's not actually a lot more.
It's not breaking the bank, is it? I mean, if you've got that, then that's just my opinion. Would you spend the extra to get the limited edition?
I would, but what I would really spend the extra now is to buy the EcoSport 1-litre EcoBoost Trend. Which is the manual, but F346-100. So that's only 10 more, and you've got this fabulous, powerful EcoBoost.
And now for me, but it's a manual.
It's a manual, but the auto in that is 361. Okay, so you would be having to spend 26 grand more to get the auto Trend EcoBoost auto.
Yeah.
I've repeated auto twice.
So we've run out of time. What will you give it out of 10?
Okay, so I'm going to do something sneaky here. I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 for its drive.
Okay.
And 8 out of 10 for its looks. So I'm giving it a 7.5.
I'm going to let you do that. It's a 7.5 for the EcoSport Limited Edition Black. What are we doing next week in 3 seconds?
Well, it does sound like I love Ford, but I cannot resist doing this because it's a new Mustang that comes out on Tuesday, and I've been invited a very small amount of media because of COVID. I'm going to only
Melinda, this is far more than 3 seconds. You're doing the Mustang next week. I love you. We'll chat to you then. Goodbye.